several songs about the Holy Spirit tonight. So, funnily enough, that's what we're going to speak on, sort of. So, in Revelation chapter 2, verse 7, it says this: "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God." Now, what got me started thinking about this, and I don't know what did really, but I had this thought a little while back, about this. And I don't know why the Lord just put it in my heart to look at it, and I really didn't know how to go about it in a way, but, you know, try to put this together. And of course, I never know how to do anything like that, but the Lord gave me a way to go at this, I hope so. But it starts out at "He that hath an ear," and so you think of it this way. So, he that hath an ear, most people can hear, or you talk to them, they can understand what you're saying. But so let every intelligent person or anyone who understands the language, right, seek the Lord and ask the Lord for the anointing of his Holy Spirit and an understanding of God's word, and most of all, take heed to what the Spirit saith. That's the key, is taking heed to what the Spirit says to you. Now, the Spirit speaks to all of us in different times and different things, different ways maybe, I don't know. Obviously, the Spirit is very powerful, as we know, and it can teach you so many things. It definitely teaches you about the Word of God. And so I'd like to go back a ways to Ezekiel. We're going to come back to this later on, but I want to turn to Ezekiel 3, I guess it is. And this is maybe kind of seem like a strange place to start. Ezekiel 3:27. Now, this is talking about being the watchman, okay? And he goes up further to talk about in verse 25, "But thou, son of man, behold, they shall put bands upon thee and shall bind thee with them, and thou shalt go out among them. And I will make thy tongue cleave to the roof of thy mouth, and thou shalt be dumb, and shall not be to them a reprover, for they are a rebellious house," talking about Israel. But in verse 27, he says, "But when I speak with thee, I will open thy mouth, and thou shalt say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, he that heareth, let him hear, and he that forbeareth, let him forbear, for they are a rebellious house." Man, in its own way, is rebellious in a lot of ways towards God. Even Christians, or they call themselves Christians, whatever the case may be, are somewhat rebellious against God, because if you're not willing to yield to the Spirit of the living God and His Holy Spirit, and to receive what God has for you, in his word, by prayer, vision, however he comes to you, he speaks to you in a song, it doesn't matter. If you're not listening to him, especially in his word, if you read God's word and you're not hearing what God's word says, then there's a lack of communication here somewhere. And it's not on God's part, it's on man's part. So, you need to pray to the Lord to show me, Lord, give me wisdom. Show me what you want. Teach me thy ways, O Lord, right? We know about that. And the Lord will surely teach you more than we can even partake of here. But the idea is, each time you ask the Lord, it's like taking a step. You know, you're climbing a staircase. You take one step here, you learn a certain amount, you go to the next step, you learn some more. So you keep walking with the Lord, and you keep getting in his word. But the hardest part about God's word, I think a lot of people, maybe people in churches, is they don't, first of all, they don't take their Bible with them. So that's the big problem right there. They're waiting for some guy to give them or some person to show them what's going on and teach them. But they're unteachable because they don't seek the Holy Spirit and they don't seek out God's word. It's important. The Holy Spirit is the key of everything. It's God's Spirit, and we need that Holy Spirit to teach us and direct us and guide us in His Word. You can read the Word. I mean, obviously, it's not super hard to read, but if you're just reading it as a book, you're just reading it as page after page, you're not going to get anything out of it. And I was thinking about this. I've done a Sunday school lesson. I was thinking the same line that you need the Holy Spirit to direct your thoughts and your reasoning, because we really want to be, we want all that God has for us, and we want all that He has for us in His Word, and the only way to do that is if He anoints with His Holy Spirit. And when you're saved and then you're filled with the Holy Spirit, being filled with the Holy Spirit is and everybody knows that once they've been filled, it's a great degree of understanding. It's almost like being really totally blind, you know, or in this sense, He says, I will make your roof, your tongue cleave to the roof of your mouth so you can't even speak. But when He speaks to you, then you can speak, okay? Because now once you receive the Holy Spirit, it's quite eye-opening. I mean, that's when you really start to understand God's Word. I know that I was amazed that I just had so many questions and so many thoughts. It just came upon me time and time again. And so I'm glad that I was filled with the Holy Spirit, that I'd be able to learn some things. Now, I don't always remember everything, but I do like to learn them, so hopefully. But the Lord can bring you back in remembrance of them, too, by the way, His Holy Spirit. So let's go to Deuteronomy 31. I don't want to make this too long, so. Deuteronomy 31 and verse 12 and 13. No, this is not what I wanted. Oh, no wonder why I didn't look right. You got to be in chapter 31 first. Let's see. Moses encourages Israel here, but he says, gather the people together in verse 12. Well, let's read verse 11. When all Israel has come to appear before the Lord thy God in the place which He shall choose, thou shalt read this law before all Israel in their hearing. Gather the people together, men and women and children, and thy stranger that is within thy gates, that they may hear, and that they may learn and fear the Lord your God, and observe to do all the words of His law. And that their children, which have not known anything, may hear and learn to fear the Lord your God, as long as you live in the land whither ye go over the Jordan to possess it. So basically he's just saying, you know, I want you to hear what I have to say. And you know, Moses, yeah, God spoke to Moses a lot. So Moses knew what God wanted and what He wanted out of this deal. And I'm not going to go into this thing about Moses and Israel and all that right now. But the idea is to hear and give complete reverence to God and His holy word. And I think it's important, like I said, it's so important to do that. And I think in Christendom today, in churches everywhere, I mean, not every church, but a lot of churches, especially the worldly church, they don't give reverence to God very much, and they don't speak in His Word. They don't speak His Word very much. They might give a little bit of maybe a scripture here and there, and that's all they do, because they're more worried about doing other stuff. You know, they want to have a lot of stuff going on. And of course, like Earlene had said, and many have said before, and Donnie mentioned it, that they're more worried about drawing in the people. They want their church. They build a big church. They move into it. So now they got to put 500 people in this church, And they can't do it because if they just speak the word, and, you know, how terrible is that? And talk about infilling of the Holy Spirit and indwelling of Christ and so forth. And really, it's not that exciting to them. So they want to move it along with a lot of other stuff, right? What's it say that if it's not God's word? There's a verse that talks, sounds like sounding brass or something. There's a verse about it. Yeah. So, you know, there you go. So, but it's important. To the word of God is so important. And reverence God and all that he has to offer for us. And just in his word alone is so much. And so now I want to turn. So I marked this so I wouldn't forget what it was. Nehemiah 9:20. And this is the part where they're praising God and also a confession of their sins because of the molten calf and the stuff they did in Egypt and so forth. Nehemiah 9:12, and that's right before Esther. 9:20, I'm sorry, not 9:12. I don't know what I'm doing up here. Okay. Let's see. I want to go up a little further. Okay, in verse 19, he says, verse 18, yea, when they had made them a molten calf and said, this is thy God that brought thee up out of Egypt and wrought great provocations. Yet thou in thy manifold mercies forsookest them not in the wilderness. The pillar of the cloud departed not from them by day to lead them in the way, neither the pillar of fire by night to show them light and the way wherein they should go. Thou gavest also thy good spirit to instruct them, and withheldest not thy manna from their mouth, and gavest them water for their thirst. He said, and he goes on further. He says, yea, 40 years didst thou sustain them in the wilderness, so that they lacked nothing. Their clothes waxed not old, and their feet swelled not. Now you think about that, right? You walk around in the desert for 40 years and tell me your feet ain't going to be swollen. One day and my feet would be swollen. So, you know, the Lord is just trying to show them that all the things that they'd done, that the Lord had done for them in the natural, but also that this really what he gave them was the good spirit to instruct them. And that's what he was trying to get across to them, is the spirit of the Lord, that how he was leading them and guiding them. And also the pillar of the cloud, that was a light for them, right? So they didn't have to wander around in the dark. I don't know what it'd be like. It must have been a pretty bright light out there and have a couple million people wandering around, running into each other and everything. But anyway, it's amazing to me how the Word of God is a light for us and does light our path. The Holy Spirit is a spark that we need, and it is the light. Jesus is the light. Isaiah 55, I want to read this because I like it. let me tell you, when I got into this, man, I could have made this last a month. I had so many scriptures, we could have sat here and read scriptures all night. But I didn't really want to, I don't know what the Lord wants me to do for the next several weeks, so we'll just leave that up to him. And the Holy Spirit. Now, Isaiah 55:3. Well, he goes before in verse 1. Ho, everyone that thirsts, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in the fatness. Incline your ear, and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. So this is the key, right? This is what he's talking about. You thirst, come to the waters. Incline your ear. Come unto me. Hear what I have to say. Hear what my spirit has to say unto you. Let the spirit be the guide. And I want to turn to John. I know this is familiar, John 14, 14, 26 and 27. I remember when we had John, we studied John early and did a study on John. And it's in my other Bible because I was too lazy to write notes out, so I wrote all over my Bible, and now I can't hardly read it. So I don't know. It's kind of a thing. Chapter 14 of John, and we're going to verses 26 and 27. And this is Jesus' words. He says in 23, Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things which I have spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. So think about it. Jesus went, he promised them the Holy Spirit, right? So, but there was a time, right, when he left. So we had to wait a little while for the Holy Spirit to come. And so Jesus was just comforting his disciples because he was going to leave. And they were like, I'm sure they were a little, you know, worried about Jesus leaving. What are we going to do? And they loved him, and they had faith in him. They trusted Jesus. They knew the Word, and he was the Word. And they, you know, he talked, spent hours and hours and hours with them, and lived with them, and everything. So, but he promised them the Holy Spirit to come, right? And so I wondered. I was thinking when that happened, some time went by, and it hadn't come yet. But God has His time, right? So at the day of Pentecost, which was, you find in Acts 2, we find that they were in one accord, it says, and the Holy Spirit fills the believers, right? Sound like the rush of, what did it say? Huh? Yeah. And so, I don't know, I just think about that, how great that must have been. And they were all speaking in different tongues, and they couldn't understand each other, so that was probably pretty cool. But the Holy Spirit came at the day of Pentecost. So Jesus said it would come, and it did. But God has his time. And I don't know why he had his time, why it came that way. I don't know. But God has his own timing, his own way of doing it. So you just seek the Lord. Seek him early. Seek him often. Come to him. Seek his word. Study his word. You'll find more in his word than you will out here walking around. Okay, so now we're going to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And I'm going to start in verse 9. And we're going to read a few verses. We're going to read down to 14. And like I said, there's a lot of verses we could have gone back and forth on, but I just tried to pick out a few what the Lord gave me. This is important verses here in Corinthians. We had this not too long ago. Verse 9 of 1 Corinthians chapter 2. But as it is written, eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. The Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual, okay? But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Therefore, it says it plainly, you cannot understand God's word, what God has for you in his word, without the Holy Spirit. Infilling of the Holy Spirit is very important. That's all there is to it. It's a must. If you want to know what God's word really is, you have to have the Holy Spirit. Simple as that. It says, we know that the confidence that fills, we know with confidence that as long as we stay in God's word and ask for understanding by way of the Holy Spirit, by staying in complete fellowship with our Heavenly Father through our Lord Jesus Christ, that God will never leave us or forsake us. And we find this in Hebrews 13:5. He never leaves us, never forsakes us. Now, in Samuel, I just want to mention this. I was thinking about this. I don't know why Saul came to my mind. But in Samuel 16:14, the Spirit of the Lord did depart from Saul because he didn't follow the instruction of the Holy Spirit of God. God instructed him exactly what to do, and Saul chose, of course God knew he was going to do this, but Saul chose to go ahead and do what he wanted to do. And then he turned around, he tried to say, well, the men, they did it. Well, he was their leader, he was their king. And he didn't follow, and because he didn't follow, the Spirit of the Lord did depart from Saul because he didn't follow the instruction of the Holy Spirit of God, and an evil spirit of the Lord troubled him. That's all it says, right? It troubled him, and it did trouble Saul. But David, he was going to be king anyway. And so I think Israel asked for a king, so they gave him Saul, and Samuel anointed him, but he wasn't the guy. But that's what happens when and it happens, it's the same way with us. If we don't follow the instruction of the Holy Spirit and what the Lord wants from us, the evil spirit of the Lord is going to be troubled and trouble you too, because anybody that's, and I think about it, when we step out of fellowship with the Lord, and we're not perfect, we don't walk in a perfect way with the Lord constantly every moment of the day. We like to think we can. We can't, because we're still human beings down here and we still sin. But the idea is, if you stay occupied, didn't Jesus say, stay occupied till I come? If you stay occupied in the Word of God, okay, you ask the Holy Spirit to teach you and lead you, which he will. If you stay in that frame, inside that framework, even though you slip once in a while, God knows. He's not going to beat you up and just not have anything to do with you. But also, we need to be like David. David, when he made a mistake, where did he do? He turned right to the Lord, sought the Lord out, and sought forgiveness, because David knew that he'd messed up from time to time. And so do we. So it's a good thing to do, right, when you make a mistake or you know you're not right with the Lord and you've stepped out of step maybe here and there, which you all do. I do. I mean, I'll admit it. I do. I don't like myself when I do. In fact, I hate myself, actually. And I know right away what I need to do, and that's to go and talk to the Lord. Okay? And so we're not all above that. Well, Christendom is above that, of course. One good example is David. I want to turn this is in Psalms. You can listen whatever you want to do. But Psalms 51, and I only chose one out here because I want to get this in. We ain't got too many more to go, so I'm almost done. Psalms 51:11. Well, here we go. We're going to go up here to verse 9. It says, hide thy face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Verse 10, create in me a clean heart, O God. That's in 51 Psalms, by the way. Verse 10, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Right? And then he says this, cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. I guarantee if you just say that to the Lord when you mess up or you're not quite right with the Lord, you say, Lord, please cast not me away from thy presence and take not thy Holy Spirit from you. The Lord's not going to take the Holy Spirit from you. He wants you to come unto him. He wants you to. And then it says in verse 12, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation and uphold me with thy free spirit. And then he goes on to say, hey, then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. See? David, man, deliver me from the blood guiltness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. Huh? The sacrifices of God in 17 are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, that will not despise. I just think it's so, I don't know, David just has such a way. Can you imagine all these songs that he wrote? It just amazes me. But David, this is what we need to be like right here. Cast me not away from thy presence. The Lord isn't going to do that. He loves us. We belong to him. Nobody and no one shall pluck us out of his hand. We belong to him. Jesus paid the price. We belong to him. And so when we go back to Revelation 2:7, I'm going to go back there because I've got to be able to read this. Back in our chapter that we started with, I hate new Bibles, I tell you. I just can't turn them fast enough. Okay, here we go. I should have just marked them all, I guess. Revelation 2:7. And it says, it goes on to say, and I'm going to read this again in 7. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh, will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Right? So, think about this. This speaks of anyone that continues, right? Steadfast in faith, uncorruptible, and that one's life and faithfully confesses Jesus Christ. See, it's all about our Lord Jesus Christ. He's provided the way. It's all because of him. These are his words here. And he's provided the way, he that overcometh. He's going to give us to eat of the tree of life forever, all eternity, paradise of God, in the heavens with him. And the ones that overcometh, real overcomers, that go up in the bridal company, they will be with our Lord right by his side. Don talked about that Sunday night about the bride of Christ. That's an important place to be. Earlene mentioned one time that she said, I want that call. I want that call. And I was thinking about that. You decide yourself what call you want. You want the last call? You want the middle call? You want first call? Maybe you want to wait a little longer. You wait long enough, you won't. Well, you're saved, you'll go to heaven, but you may be a long way removed from the Lord. I don't know about any of that particularly, but we know that our rewards are great, and those ones that overcome. To be in the bride of Christ, that's the ultimate reward. And like I said, it says that confesses Jesus. Jesus will give him to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of paradise. But you go on down to verse 11 of the same chapter. He says this again, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Okay. And of course, he was speaking here in Ephesus first, but he ends it here and he says, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith in the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. You know, in every one of these letters to the churches, he ends this way, hear what he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. And early he went on about him walking amongst the midst with the candlesticks and so forth. There's so much here that I'm not going to get in there. I was reading about it today, and I kind of got I didn't really get distracted, but I kind of got off of what I was going to speak on when I started thinking about the candlesticks and stuff. But there's so much here that Jesus is trying to speak to us here about. But and of course we know that at the end of each letter he says this, all right? So. And I was thinking, there's one more place I want to go. We're going to back up just a hair to 1 John. in 1 John, where am I? Wrote it down. Chapter 2. 1 John 2, 27 through 29. Go this way. It said, "But the anointing which we have received of him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all these things, and is truth, and is no lie, even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence, and not be ashamed before him at his coming. If ye know that he is righteous, ye know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him." And so the last thing, I just have this one question I like to ask, because this is what I asked to myself when I got done today. Do we really hear what the Spirit says? Do we hear all that God has for us in his word? I mean, sometimes I think, oh yeah, I hear it. And then I realize a lot of times, of course I understand when you read the word, you read a scripture, you read it one time, it means something, you read it, it means a little something different, maybe more. And so that changes a little bit, but all in all, do we really hear what the Spirit is trying to teach us, to show us in God's word? And I think that, and I'm guilty of it, I think you need to take a harder look at what he has for us. Because, you know, one of these days, we're going to be with the Lord, and we're going to know so many things, and we're still going to be learning, and we're going to be exalting our Lord above all things. We should exalt him now, ahead of and before all things, because he is our all in all. And that's what I had for tonight. So, praise.